Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started.
Hello, and my guest on the podcast today is Marianne Kotikas, who is the head of Asia Pacific for Physitrack. And I'm absolutely delighted that Marianne can join us today because Physitrack is a bit of a well-kept secret. Whilst it's growing in profile, I was delighted to read about it and discover what it offers just in the last few months. So welcome, Marianne.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for having me. Really exciting to talk to you.
So uncover the secret for us. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself first, and then we'll get into Physitrack. I'll be a little bit patient on it.
Myself, not that important really, but I joined Physitrack about 4 years ago, initially just to kind of be part of something quite exciting. Actually, one of my best mates from high school, back in Amsterdam where I grew up, he's one of the co-founders, and he just asked me to have a look at Physitrack and just get some feedback really as a consumer initially. And he said, "Well, can you have a chat to some of your local physios, see what they think? Being based here in Australia, it would be good to get some feedback for them." And that's how things kind of started rolling. And bit by bit, got more involved. I joined Physitrack full time about 2.5 years ago now. And it's been an insane ride, to be honest. Being part of a startup that does something quite different to what was already out there. And just to see how that's embraced by so many users around the world is really exciting. So that was, my part of Physitrack. And before that, been involved with many other different companies, not in healthcare at all, with Nike. So I've been working for Nike for about 8 years, both in Europe and here in Australia. And worked for some marketing companies here in Australia and also in the US. So, so quite a different background, but probably good to come with, I suppose, a different kind of skill sets to come into healthcare, digital health business, and use those skills to help further the product. And that's what we're doing every day.
The business relationships that grow out of those high school friendships. There's lots of stories along those lines. Hey,
there's a lot. I think absolutely, and it's. I think the good thing is nowadays it's so much easier to stay in touch with, whether it's old high school, uni buddies, whatever it may be. As long as there's a good idea, doesn't matter where you're based around the world. So that's exactly how we approach it here at Physitrack. Yeah.
LinkedIn has a lot to answer for. share up the secret. What is Physitrack?
What is Physitrack? The 10-second, 20-second elevator pitch that we normally use is that Physitrack is a patient, a client engagement solution, including telehealth. So that's pretty broad, of course. But what Physitrack does, it lets healthcare practitioners, and that could be anyone within allied health, so whether it's a physiotherapist, OT, podiatrist, EPs, psychologists even, what it lets them do is prescribe exercises to their clients. So it's exercise prescription, but it also lets them then track outcomes with those clients in real time. And outcomes could be anything from adherence, rate of perceived exertion, pain scores, but also outcome measures. So we have about 50 mostly used outcome measures set up in Physitrack. So as a practitioner, I can track those outcomes with my clients. I can educate my clients. So there's a lot of educational content in a library that the practitioners can use as well with their clients. And then last but not least, telehealth. So with Physitrack, we basically developed a telehealth solution specifically for allied health practitioners where you can have your video calls within the app that we develop with your clients, but you can also stream exercise videos to your clients as you talk to them. So it's all about engaging your clients remotely and really help them to achieve better outcomes. That's not quite 10 to 20 seconds, but in 1 minute, basically what Physitrack is and does.
You're welcome to a good 20 minutes explanation. My pleasure. So many questions bubbled out of that. As soon as I saw the website, my instant thought was, oh my gosh, that makes it so much easier for people who are consuming and purchasing advice and support. And the number of times I have asked my physio to video it for me or voice record it for me, and sometimes they're quite reluctant, which I find really entertaining, because they're, you know, 30 years younger than me as a rule. And so it's working to that solution of making it as easy as possible for people to get well.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really how Physitrack started back in 2012 as the initial concept. It was funny story, but actually one of our founders' family members, he had a total knee reconstruction. He was given literally a piece of paper with the old stick figures, which is still quite popular around the world. It seems to be some sort of global thing that, you know, it doesn't matter where you go. I've been in Japan and I've seen Japanese versions, which are very intricate and very very detailed, as you can imagine. But he was given a piece of paper like that, and obviously being, you know, being at home trying to rehab, he had plenty of time to think, well, there must be something better to engage me as a patient, what he was thinking, but also give practitioners more insight into how patients are actually progressing, to not let patients just, you know, kind of muck around for too long. But if there's something that indicates that there needs to be some sort of intervention, whether it's another appointment or a change to their exercise regime, that, you know, that detail wasn't there, of course. So that's really, I guess, why Physitrack was, or how it was born. And then, yeah, four years later, here we are back in, actually 6 years later now, with a suite of different solutions that really are all about making life easier for practitioners indeed. So the speed obviously is of the essence. I mean, when you're with a client, you know, you might have 1 or 2 minutes to, you know, prescribe them some exercises, you know, to educate them on their condition and how they can best manage that. We developed basically something that is super easy to use, but also easy for patients, because not every client is as tech savvy as the next. So it needs to be easy and very foolproof. So that's indeed kind of, you know, the kind of a core idea behind Physitrack.
Yeah. Let's take sort of each of the features bit by bit. What's sitting in that exercise? I'm doing air quotes, realizing that air quotes aren't particularly useful for audio podcasts. What's in that exercise treasure trove? Because there's, my understanding is there's more than physio type exercises in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one of the key things that we did when we started putting the exercise video library together is to make sure that it did cater to a wide range of different practitioners. So at the moment, there's just over 3,500 exercise videos in there that we recorded ourselves. And whenever we add more exercise content, we always work with experts in their fields to make sure it's the latest content. It's based on research that's come out. And again, catering to a range of different practitioners. Obviously, there is a lot of musculoskeletal exercises in there that obviously is probably used by a lot of physiotherapists and podiatrists to a certain degree as well. But then, you know, to cater to EPs, for example, OT, a lot of strength and conditioning exercises. If you look at, let's say, the OT world, there's a lot of balancing exercises there as well. And really kind of catering also to all kind of different clients. So whether you're a baby, so we have a lot of pediatrics in there. So, you know, baby, kids, and then into teenagers, all the way to senior health at the end. So targeting to Parkinson's and Huntington's disease, and also stroke rehab. So it really touches on anything from MSK to neuro strength and conditioning, and even occupational health. So I think that was always, from day one, the key goal, to make sure that we don't just cater to just physio or just EP or just podiatry. It really caters to the whole breadth of allied health.
Yeah. So in that moment of collaborating with the patient about what's going to be best for them and what they think they can manage, there's an app that the patient, I find it really hard to say the word patient. Just bear with me. I haven't used that expression for a long, long time. So I'll say client, and then everyone will know what I mean.
Perfect.
So in that collaborative moment with the client downloads the app onto their smartphone, and the data is sort of transferred and whooshed across so that they literally walk away with a video library of what to do.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. So as a practitioner, I basically build a package for my patient client let's be consistent. That can include anything from exercises, educational content, and outcome measures. And it can be all three, or it can be just one of those three. I then assign that package to my client. The client then receives an email or an SMS. They can download Physi app, which is the client app, onto their smartphone, onto their tablet, or they can go to their computer as well on the web. So there's all basically different ways for them to access that content. And then once I access my program, depending on if my practitioner wants me to, I can then report back on my progress in terms of how many sets and reps did I complete today, what was my pain score, RPE, what was my HI max, and then outcome measures are also completed in that same app. So as a client, I basically have one app that looks after my entire need and it helps me look after my my condition. So it's super seamless, and no more multiple apps with exercise and maybe a separate app for outcome measures and then perhaps, you know, another link to YouTube for some educational content. It's none of that. It's all basically integrated into the one app. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's sitting in the education part? Is that pre-prepared FAQ type, you know, good general topics that I'm guessing I haven't had a good look at it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's the educational library is something we started earlier this year. It's a growing part of our platform, and it really just talks about different conditions. How you best manage your condition, how does it happen? It has a mix of PDFs and videos, so you can give that both to your client inside the app or one or the other. And like any part of our library, you can upload your own content. So that's what a lot of clinic owners do. I think a lot of clinic owners understand that, it's not just about prescribing exercises, or it's not just about, giving some outcome measures. Education is super important, and it really helps to increase adherence of exercise programs as well. Once people actually understand the importance of exercises, for example. So you can add your own content as a practitioner. So instead of giving patients, clients a piece of paper and risk them losing that and not actually looking at it at all, you can upload your own content to your library, only visible to yourself, so not to the wider physiotherapy community, and you can then use that content with your clients inside the app. So it's a great way to make sure the clients always have access to the content inside the app. So it's a very flexible platform.
I see that also as being a huge support to memory as well, because often when you're with a practitioner, you're in pain or unwell or fatigued or highly anxious or so on and so forth, and that really compromises your ability to remember anything that is said. So to have that there, you can show partners, family, workmates, the boss, anybody in your crew who is curious and wants to understand a little bit more. It's great community development stuff as well.
Yeah, no, that's a good point actually. And we see a lot of psychologists, for example, using PhysiTrack as well. Perhaps to a lesser degree for the exercises that are in there, but probably more around education. And it could be education around mental health. It could be education around diet, lifestyle in general, and then especially combined with the telehealth component is how many psychologists use PhysiTrack to still be able to see patients or clients remotely, and then given the education as well. So and you're very right, carers, family members, they can really be part of that whole process as well then. Yeah.
The next part of it is the outcomes, and I'm thinking that they look like goals, or do they look like sort of statements about what it will be like when you're well and prepared and good to go. And I'm just hearing the words accountability screaming in my mind, because I'm a bit of a classic. I go really hard on the exercise in the first 24 hours, and then there's this period of 3 or 4 days where, not so much. And then even the day before, or even the morning before my next appointment, so that I can sort of answer really vaguely, yes, I've done some exercises. So I guess those outcome measures, there's alerts, are there? Are there some little motivational messages coming through?
Yeah, alerts, absolutely. And that's of course, the benefit of having that 360-degree feedback loop between the client and the practitioner, where it's not just the practitioner giving some exercises to the client, whether it's, sending them a YouTube link or giving them a piece of paper, hoping for the best. And then, 2 weeks later, the client hasn't done their exercises, they've forgotten how to do it. So it's really about closing that loop with those reminders, as you mentioned, but also those outcome measures. And really, as you said, basically holding clients accountable for, taking charge of their own recovery, of their own condition management. So that's super critical, of course, for any client, even more so perhaps for clients that are part of any kind of work cover or TAC claims or things like that, where, the insurer in the end wants to also see proof that, the client has put in the effort to look after themselves and then to get better again. So those outcomes reports are probably very critical for any kind of insurance type of claims that the practitioner might have. But also even just for, as I think as a profession, whether it's physio, EP or any profession, it's great to be able to, in a very easy way, collect outcomes data with your clients and then use that data to, to go back to reverse and say, Mr. GP, we've treated clients for this particular condition for the last 6 months, 12 months, and look at some of the outcomes data that really shows that our protocols work. So there's also a bit of a business side, marketing side to be able to use that outcomes data as well, which of course in the past wasn't really possible because the client forgot, they didn't know what they did, they didn't remember. And now it's actually easy for the client to report back in the first place. And then of course for the practitioner, it's super easy to collect that data, which is done automatically inside PhysiTrack. So it's, so it's really cutting a few different angles there.
To sort of explore the idea of outcomes data a little bit more, because you've got visibility right across the country and who's doing what and who's not doing what, is this something newish for the, but are you seeing a growing trend in professionals really getting curious and really digging into the outcomes data?
Yeah, it certainly is, and it's. I think it's partially driven by practitioners. I guess having access now to technology that that's readily available. So it's easier for them to collect data in the first place, which really I suppose creates a bit more of a digital culture within clinics, where clinic owners say, you know what, let's actually consistently start collecting outcomes data across our patients, because we finally have the opportunity to do so. So that's kind of how it starts, really kind of at grassroots level. But then you also have the professional organizations that really start looking at, well, how can we, as an organization, I suppose, enable our members, so whether it's, SI, APA, podiatry council, whatever it may be, how can we help our members to collect data? And with that data, actually, to really help lift the profession overall, to really start collecting, it's basically like running a real-time clinical study, if you want, with real patients, with real clients nationwide. So you can just imagine, the amount of outcomes data that could be generated that way. Which can then, be analyzed in a de-identified, aggregated way, where patients can't be identified, but you still have then the benefit, of course, of having thousands and thousands of patients' outcomes data to see, well, how effective are the treatments, and is one protocol better than the next? So it really opens up opportunities, both for practitioners on a private practice level, in hospitals too, but also on a higher level, within the overall profession within certain countries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the business that private practice is, I suspect that there could be a little bit of, I'll get to that over summer, around jumping into the outcomes that you've got access to. How does PhysiTrack help business owners kind of attach a bit more effectively to their numbers?
It's actually literally, we're looking at it over summer because January, for example, I guess a lot of practitioners had a bit of time off, and we saw thousands of people jump on and sign up actually on the January, February time. So literally people actually do take their time to look at their business and see, well, what are the platforms that we are using at the moment? Are they the right platforms? I mean, are they really, what clients expect from us in terms of the service that we deliver? But also, are the platforms that we use, do they actually talk to each other? Are they actually integrated, or are they all very siloed in a way where, if we open up our practice management system, then, do we have to then manually, do our accounting separately, and, our exercise prescription platform, does it speak to any platform? So I think, yeah, people definitely at some stage, and some it seems to be a very good time for that, look at how they run their clinic and then kind of find out, okay, well, you know, instead of having, I suppose, a local server type of setup when it comes to a practice management system, for example, are we perhaps better off to look at a cloud-based solution where we can access our patient, you know, information from anywhere in a very secure way? And then they quite often, you know, once they go down that path, find us because we integrate with most of the practice management systems out there, which saves practitioners a lot of time and also means that a lot of the data that's generated inside Physitrack is also sitting inside their practice management system. So it really becomes, I suppose, the source of truth for them to always be able to go into their PMS and basically find any information on their patient that they need.
Yeah. Please, can you explain a little bit more about the practice management software systems that Physitrack is compatible with and how that kind of works and what it looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So, so the ones that we integrate at the moment, which you and your listeners probably know quite well, are the likes of Core Plus, Clinico, Nuco, GenSolve, PPMP, and HealthKit, just the top of my head, here in Australia. And the way those integrations work in general is that once you connect your practice management system to Physitrack, which takes literally 1 minute, it's very easy, then you can open your client straight from your PMS into Physitrack. So there's no manual entry of clients inside Physitrack. Make sure that, you know, the patient details stay in sync between the two platforms. And then what we started doing recently with the first few practice management systems is then also start send back, for example, exercise programs that you assigned to a client inside Physitrack, to send a copy of that program in PDF form back to the practice management system. So as a practitioner, I know that, okay, I want to assign a program to this client. I open the client in Physitrack, assign that program. But by the time I get back to my practice management system, a copy of that exercise program is already sitting there. So in the patient notes. So again, it's a great way just to have a quick look. Okay, what did I prescribe to my patient last time? And then, of course, if I need to assign something differently next time, I can just jump quickly into Physitrack through a single sign-on. So once you're signed on from your PMS, you can go straight into Physitrack, no more punching in login and passwords all the time. It's basically, you basically secured logged in from there. So yeah, some real time savers, but also as a team as well within the clinic, I can go into any client and I can see their history of exercise programs, for example, even though one of my colleagues might have actually assigned that program to the client. So it's all about, you know, giving more transparency to practitioners in the clinic as well.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Makes it so easy. It's great. Great.
That's
great,
the whole idea. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit, please, about, let's just back up. I would love to hear your thoughts on telehealth and where that is in Australia. And if you've got any international insights, because you've got a part of a global company, how is Australia tracking with the progression towards telehealth and a digital health future? And what have you sort of seen elsewhere?
Yeah, I guess Australia is an interesting one when it comes to telehealth, because there are some, I guess there are some pockets, interesting being the very polite way of describing it. There are some really good pockets, I think. And, you know, if you look at, let's say, you know, if you're a GP and you treat clients rurally, for example, you know, there are some provisions within Medicare or private health where, you know, you can get reimbursed for some of those consultations. So there's some good things happening. There is some really good things happening in hospitals as well. For example, a patient might have been in a hospital, they've been discharged, they go back, and they might be living 500 kilometers away, where they then, of course, you know, use their local, whether it's the local GP or allied health provider, to continue their recovery. Now, you see some really good examples of perhaps the surgeon in a hospital, you know, communicating via telehealth or a video call with the client in their own hometown with their own, I suppose, support team around them. So that's where, you know, it's looking quite, you know, quite promising. When it comes to allied health though, and so let's say, you know, tele rehab. So being able to, you know, as again, as any kind of allied health practitioner, being able to remotely consult your clients. There's basically no Medicare rebates. Private health insurance insurers haven't really gone there yet. Despite the fact that that's probably, you know, where there are some of the biggest gains to be had when it comes to you know, reducing costs. I mean, you know, getting clients, getting patients out of the public system quicker. You know, of course, you know, private health insurers, you know, they have massive costs when it comes to patients rehabilitating in hospitals. You know, if they can get those clients out back to their own home with the support team there quicker, but still being able to then remotely consult with clients via telehealth, there would be a huge cost reduction to the public healthcare system, and also a lot more convenience for patients, of course, living further away, not having to drive into a hospital, and sometimes conditions prevent them from driving long distances too. So there are some huge benefits, I think, that haven't really been addressed or accommodated. And I know that some of the organizations like the APA, for example, they're doing some really good advocacy work behind the scenes on getting telehealth reimbursed as a service. I think also because in many cases, you know, sometimes, of course, there is manual treatment involved. And in that case, you know, there might be a need for the physio to go out to the client or the other way around. But in many cases, it might just be a 10 to 15 minute catch up on, okay, show me how your exercises are going. Or especially in terms of, let's say, OTs and psychologists. I mean, there's no manual treatment sometimes involved. It's really about making sure that the client experience is as positive as possible for the client. So if I'm a client severely depressed sitting at home, maybe I actually, you know, feel more comfortable talking to my psychologist from the comfort of my own home, where I don't have to leave and I don't have to see other people. So there are basically a ton of examples, I think, where especially for Australia with the distances that we have here, where telehealth would be, you know, would be the perfect solution. So I think there's still a long way to go in Australia, despite the fact that, you know, technology is there. There's no reason technology-wise why it can't be done. And it is done in a lot of other countries. Like I said, PhysiTrack is actually used in 102 countries around the world. Sometimes it means, you know, one practitioner in Zimbabwe, for example, but, you know, we take it. some exciting examples. But, you know, if you look at countries like Canada, for example, and the US, where, you know, you also have large distances, I think that over there, especially the insurers and also Medicare, they understand that telehealth can be a perfect way of treating your clients. In the end, it's just another consultation. It might not be in person, but again, if there's no need, you know, for any manual intervention, there's no reason why telehealth can't be as good, if not better, in some cases, in terms of delivering, you know, the same outcomes. And there's a ton of research out there that shows that, there's no reason why telehealth can't be used. Yeah,
it's absolutely bewildering why it is moving at such a glacial speed in Australia. Absolutely bewildering, because my understanding is we're pretty speedy with taking up technology. We're quite early adopters with a lot of aspects of it. It just seems to be the policy and the funding. So many people are ready to go for it. And I'm also really, I'm always really curious about when telehealth comes up. It's always very quickly associated with people who are a long way away from services. I think it's also really relevant, in my opinion, for people who work, people who may not be able to drive because of their injury or other reasons. So, some of the telehealth I personally delivered was, you know, with people who were just a suburb or two away.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that's a perfect example, actually, because a lot of, you know, busy executives, for example, you know, they might be stuck in the boardroom all day, and they still want to have that quick, quick conversation with their practitioner. They might be traveling. In that case, of course, there is the distance, but it's all about convenience in the end, I think. And that's where, if you look at society as a whole, I think that's where society is going with, you know, the cliche examples of Uber and Airbnb, but it's true. I mean, people want to have convenience and make it work for them in terms of, you know, how they live their lives and what their daily schedule looks like. So I think it makes total sense. Truck drivers. So, you know, the truck driver who is always on the go, you know, he might only be in one place for, you know, maybe for one night or half a day or whatever it may be. You know, there's a ton of examples, I think, where it's not always about distance, but more about convenience, really, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. All righty, well, we'll just, you know, have to have a glass of wine over that.
We can.
I don't know how much slower it can go, to be honest, but never mind. We'll just keep leaning in on that one. So explain to us how Physitrack provides telehealth services.
So with Physitrack, yes. So the way it works is it's all built again, built into the same platform. So as a practitioner, I would treat it like any other consultation. So the client, they're basically, whether it's online through the PMS or through the client's web, the practitioner's website, the client books an appointment. In that case, it might be a telehealth appointment, and when it's time for their appointment, the client just opens up Physi app, which is the patient app that they probably already use for their exercises and for their educational content. Then as a practitioner, I just click a big button, call client inside Physitrack, which initiates the call. So it's always the practitioner who is initiating the call. The practitioner can also insert a consent message if they want the client to consent on their end when they accept the call. And that basically establishes the call. So it's app to app. There's no separate downloads for the client or for the practitioner. We can have our video call. There's some really cool examples of some clients, some elderly patients that are in their home. They might put their iPad on, let's say, the kitchen bench, and they actually show, you know, walking down the hallway. So, you know, so the practitioner can look at their gait and can look at balance and things like that remotely, which is really cool, of course. And then as a practitioner, if I perhaps want to assign a new exercise to my client, it's going to be hard to explain the right technique to the client, being remotely in particular. So what you can do then, you can actually click on any of the exercise videos inside our library as a practitioner, and that particular exercise video then starts playing on the client side inside the app during the video call. So really, really cool. As a client, I can watch the video, I can listen to the narration of the video, and then as a practitioner, I can, of course, then choose to, you know, give them some tips and tricks. I can ask the client to replicate the exercise on camera. So it's basically as if I'm sitting next to the client, despite the fact I'm not. So that's there's a number of different kind of clinical elements built into the video call feature that are very different compared to, let's say, Skype or FaceTime.
Yeah. Wow, that is so cool. That's amazing. Is it possible to record the video session and save that into the practice management system, or is that not compliant with privacy, or is that just not even useful?
Yeah, look, it's there is an option. It's an optional feature to be able to record the audio component of the video call. Just the audio component. The video itself would be way too big in terms of files. But there is an optional setting that we can switch on for practitioners if they're interested. There's a small additional fee for that, but that means that you can record the audio call. Then you can basically download that file and save it to your practice management system if you wanted to. So it could be handy for certain clients. And it could be handy from an insurance point of view. It is built into the platform, so it is definitely an option if that's required. Yeah.
Are many practitioners interested in that feature?
Not as many as we thought. I mean, it's just, you know, part and parcel. It is an option that we can roll out. But I think most practitioners know, well, again, they really treat the telehealth consult as, you know, just a face-to-face kind of consult. And when I'm seeing a client with me in my practice, I'm not recording that conversation either. So why would I record that, you know, doing it remotely? It's more about note-taking, I think. And note-taking is important, you know, whether I'm with the client in the same room or whether, you know, when the client is on the other side of town. There's no real difference there. So note-taking is always key. The audio recording, you know, could be a nice little add-on, but it's obviously, even from an insurance point of view, liability insurance point of view, it's not required. It's more about the note taking.
That was the very agenda behind my question. Is there any way we can do less or faster or more effective note taking? Because it is a bit of a love-hate relationship with the note taking as a rule.
Yes. No one likes admin, do we?
No, that's right. Oh, well, that part of PhysiTrack just makes it so efficient, I guess, for practitioners to get in and get started on telehealth. What do you think the future of telehealth is going to be?
Well, the future of telehealth, I think probably, in my opinion, really it depends on whether the government and private health insurers get their act together and really start recognizing it as a way, how clients want to be able to consume healthcare on one hand, but also to help reduce costs. So I think once, and that's really the biggest hurdle at the moment, I think once there is reimbursement for that type of consultation, I think telehealth will really take off. So that's where I think it will head to at some stage, and that could be within 2 years, could be in 5 years, who knows. It's a bit of a marathon, I think. But I think, if and when that happens, I think it will definitely change the way people consume healthcare, and telehealth will be a big part of that. I think you'll see, even more players come to the market, for specific telehealth solutions, which you see. If you look at, if you want to look into the future, I think, again, looking at Canada, US, you see a lot more providers of telehealth services in general. So I think that's probably something that will happen. But I think one of the key things that will happen as well as part of that is it's going to be easier for clients to basically have a telehealth consultation. So really just basically from in the app, going into a virtual waiting room and be able to pay for the consultation, kick off that consultation then with the healthcare practitioner. So I think ease of use on the client side. So again, very much like Uber and Airbnb, I think will definitely happen. And the other thing that will happen, I think, as part of that is that you're not going to be stuck to to practitioners inside your 10K radius around your house. Which is currently the case, but you really look for someone who is a specialist in your specific condition, and that person could be on the other side of the world. So I think things will change quite rapidly. Once we start seeing some of those reimbursements for telehealth consultations, and some of those things I think will be quite exciting as well, and quite disruptive to healthcare systems, no doubt.
Oh wow, disruption and healthcare, are they words that go together?
Well, they're always mentioned in one breath, so it's disruptions to certain degrees, I think. But I think telehealth, and it's the same. I think Uber is a perfect example where it's all about convenience. It's all about basically looking at what's important to consumers nowadays, and basically deliver that to them. So and of course, healthcare is more regulated. Is slower to adopt. Changes and disruption in general. We launched, we launched 4 years ago, and we've had some tremendous growth. But we've seen, initially probably quite a bit of resistance, and it's a learning curve for, I think, for a lot of practitioners too, where and healthcare systems in general, where things have been done in certain ways for such a long time, because there isn't that much change really in healthcare over time. That when there is change, it does happen, but it just happens a bit slower compared to some other industries, for sure.
It's an interesting concept to even consider the health insurers approving rebates for overseas providers. That is just a step a little too far.
that's a very future thing.
We're trying to get them towards. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think one of the things that we see overseas is that that sometimes, and especially in the UK, and the UK has a slightly different healthcare system, obviously, but we already see healthcare insurance going directly to consumers. So if I'm a consumer and I have a bit of a niggly back, or I might have a traffic accident, I might get triaged directly by the health insurer via a video call, for example. So that's that first. The first contact is not perhaps with a healthcare practitioner in a private clinic. It might actually be with the health insurer as a first point of call. And then from there, I still might be referred to a practitioner afterwards. But the initial triage, if you want, is done by the health insurer. So again, this slightly different healthcare system to Australia, obviously. But it's an interesting example, to see how telehealth is used by private health insurers. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Oh, I'm literally sitting here with my fingers crossed. It would be so exciting to see all of that sooner rather than later. are there any other questions that you often get asked by private practitioners or health practitioners that I haven't asked you? Anything else that comes up as a really regular theme?
Probably the one that's is, I think, interesting from my point of view, which we didn't create Physitrack for, is the use of Physitrack or digital health in general as a marketing tool for practitioners. So obviously, there's a huge clinical side to Physitrack, and that's really, probably 99% of the time why practitioners use Physitrack as a clinical tool. But there's quite a big marketing side to Physitrack as well. And that really comes down to, as a practitioner, how do I position myself as a practitioner to my clients? How do I position the services that I offer to my clients as well? So is it purely clinical? Is it purely about, you come in, have your treatment, here's your exercise, pay, and you go out of the door? Or is it something that's maybe a bit broader than that? And is it really about, engaging my clients from the moment they walk through the door, but also in between consultations? So a lot of practitioners, they use Physitrack as a marketing tool to say, well, look, we're embracing technology that most of our clients really enjoy using. And that's the feedback that our practitioners tell all the time, that clients absolutely love the interactiveness of the app, and being in touch with practitioners and feeling better supported. And of course, that can be used as a marketing tool, whether it's in social media articles, blog articles, on website. And we see a lot of practitioners actually using Physitrack as a marketing tool to their clients on how they position themselves. So it's actually interesting. That comes up quite a lot when people start using Physitrack. Once they get their head around, they start getting feedback from their clients and say, wow, this is quite amazing. And then practitioners started thinking, well, how can we then use that kind of feedback to tell the rest of our clients about what we actually do? So it becomes part of a much bigger conversation, not just the clinical conversation, but really about, I suppose, the business and how we position ourselves as a business when it comes to practitioners. So that's interesting angle that we, again, never designed Physitrack for or created Physitrack for, but it's as a clinic owner, of course, it's a great add-on. It's not just the clinical side, but also the business marketing side as well.
That makes complete sense. Just complete sense, doesn't it? It's a point of difference. It's your commitment to clients and getting them well and back to what they need to be doing. So, you may as well
Exactly. So we support those practitioners in that. So we have, we have some sample videos that they can use on their website. We have some content that they can, I suppose, customize to basically share stories with their clients. Content is king. Goes for Physitrack in terms of our exercise, but also when it comes to marketing for practitioners, where they want to be able to share stories and draw clients to their website. So even in terms of search engine optimization, the more content you can generate, whether it's through blogs or social media posts, the higher you actually end up in rankings as well. So that's not really our expertise as such, but it does work like that. And just having content out there that interests clients, potential clients to come to your website, makes a ton of difference. Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. Great business support as well. What is Physitrack working on? What can we get excited about in the next year or so that you can tell us?
Yeah, I was just going to think. Which piece we can actually tell you about? Yeah. Well, one of the things that we are preparing for as a company is actually an IPO. So we plan to go public towards the end of this year at one of the boards in Europe. That's not an exit, so it's not like we're trying to basically go public and then do a big runner. It's really for us I suppose, a stepping stone to do a few things. So speed up R&D, so to get more features out quicker, launching in new markets. So we already are available in German, in Dutch, Spanish as well. So we're looking at other languages as we speak. So, you know, going public means, you know, more funding to ramp up those kind of activities. But in terms of the product itself, there are some features that we are working on. One of those features, which at the moment is available to clients already, but it's kind of custom designed, is basically a client self-assessment component inside the client app. So at the moment, you know, as a client, I go to my physio, to my OT first. I get my exercise program, and then I download PhysiApp, the client app. What we're going to do going forward, and again, that's available as a custom project. As a client, I can actually already download the client app from the App Store, and we can custom brand it for particular clinics. Then I can do basically a self-assessment. So, you know, through the different questionnaires, body chart, I can basically indicate where my issue is. And based on my answers, so based on branch logic, we can build into those questionnaires. The client is then redirected to either to book an appointment with a particular clinical group, or even have a telehealth video call. So I end up in a virtual waiting room where one of the practitioners as part of their clinical network can then take my consultation from there. So I think that's really, you know, taking things to the next level. And again, that's using technology that's already available. It's not, you know, something futuristic that is, you know, kind of, or that might be coming in the next 5 years. That's coming pretty soon. That's actually rolled out in the next 3 months or so to the first few customers that we have basically designed it for. So I think that's really exciting, because that's also, again, a great marketing tool for clinical groups to be able to use that app and say, you know, download your app, and clients can really start that whole journey a lot earlier in the process. So that's something that's coming. I think that's pretty exciting. And apart from that, there's some other features that we are looking at. Any occupational health providers that might be out there might be interested in this. It's a feature where you can actually do two things. One of them is assign a particular protocol to hundreds or even thousands of workers at a certain business. So there might be, let's say, a wellness type of program that you want to share with a lot of workers in one hit. So you'll be able to, inside PhysiTrack, assign one kind of standardized preventative program, for example, to, you know, thousands of employees within a certain company, which is pretty cool. But then what you can also do is then start drip feeding content once those employees have downloaded it. Let's say I'm a forklift driver in a warehouse, for example. I get an exercise program with some information about, you know, why it's important to do my stretches or my core exercises. And, you know, the next week or the next month, I might get a little ping in my app and say, hey, you've received this additional content, which might be about, you know, health and safety awareness or whatever it may be. So so that's coming as well. And that's probably one of the many things that are coming. But that's as much as I can probably say.
Wow. That's amazing, because you'll also be able to see engagement and who's looked and who hasn't. And wow.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's lots happening. I think, and probably you actually just thinking about it now, you were asking about what are some of the questions or things that practitioners bring up with us. One of them is, do you have any integrations with wearables? And you know, it's a big topic. Obviously, wearables. You know, I think there are mixed results in terms of, you know, how people use wearables, and also how long do people actually use them for? You know, is it like a gimmicky thing, and, you know, 2 months later my Fitbit might be in my top drawer. But what we'll start doing pretty soon is actually work on an integration with Apple Watch. And we chose Apple Watch because we actually partner with Apple globally. They helped us develop some of our apps. And with the integration with Apple Watch, it basically means that as a client, I can choose, so it's all up to the client. As a client, I'm in control. I can choose to share some of my health and wellness data from my Apple Watch with my practitioner through PhysiTrack. And what it means is that, you know, once I consented it as a client, some of my data, in something like, let's say, steps, heart rate, you know, sleep, some of those health statistics might then be available for my practitioner to have a look at as well. So obviously it's great as a practitioner that suddenly it's not just about, you know, exercise adherence and outcome measures, but I can now then start making sense of the total picture where it also comes down to, you know, activities, how active has my client been? Did they actually do go for a walk when they said they did? So it's all of that kind of bringing a lot of health data together inside PhysiTrack, inside one dashboard. So so that's something that, that should go live in the coming months too.
Oh, I'd love to get you back on later in the year around the wearables. I am intrigued by that. I will be purchasing my first Apple Watch later this year, and who'd have thought I would be reading the Apple Watch blogs and getting about that? But that would be me right now. So don't even know what I don't know in that space. But luckily, there's people like you who know a whole lot more than me. So
yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that would be really good. Oh well, thank you so much for your time today. I'm going to leave you with the last word, as such. If you want to give bit of a summary, shout out the website. We'll have all of that in the show notes as well. But for those listening who, are not patient enough to read the show notes, if you want to throw us a summary in the URL, that would be amazing.
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, thanks for having me again. Of course, it was, but I think it was a great session. You know, lots of things covered. I think one of the key things that can be hard sometimes for practitioners is to get a head around, you know, which systems or which apps or should I be using? And because if you go to the App Store, you know, you have close to 300,000 healthcare apps out there. So you know, where do you get started? I think is sometimes the hardest. So as a bit of a recommendation, I think, you know, look at the systems that are critical for you as a clinic owner, which obviously is your practice management system, accountancy platforms like Xero and Mayo. Then, you know, systems like PhysiTrack, are they all integrating? So I think that's one of the key things you probably want to look at. And, you know, it's going to save you a ton of time. It also means that those kind of platforms are really future-proof. When it comes to you know, making sure that your data is secure, but also you can access your data from different locations where you need to be, so you're not stuck to one terminal, one computer in one particular room. So that was probably a bit of a tip for practitioners to spend a weekend kind of evaluating your platforms that you're using, and are they still, you know, of this day and age? And I think some of the key things for practitioners that want to switch practice management systems, which is not really us, but I think switching is nowadays is easier than people think. I think sometimes it's more the thought of, you know, taking thousands of client files from one platform to another. But there are a lot of IT companies that can do that for practitioners. So I think switching is easier than ever. And I think down the track, you know, long term, it saves you a lot of time, and also make sure that your data is secure, which is critical, of course. So that was probably the one thought I'll be happy to leave with the viewers. For any information on PhysiTrack, very easy, physitrack.com. You can have a look. There's a free demo, big green button on the website to have a look around at some of the key features, and you can even sign up for a 7-day. Free trial if you're interested as well. So there's no obligation at all. And I'm always happy to hear from people with questions or feedback. So I assume my details will be in the on your website. But mk@physitrack.com.au is my email address. So yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for joining us. And please come back and tell us all the good stuff about where PhysiTrack gets to across 2018 and its integrations and integrations with wearable tech as well. So hoping this is the first conversation of many. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kathy. Cheers.
Thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it, nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.